Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. It's been known to be one of the ironic experiences when it comes to living the Christian life. You know, it's easy to follow Christ when things are good. Of course, there's nothing wrong with good times. They are indeed God's blessings. But the deeper stuff of faith comes when you encounter the unexpected, the shocking hardships in life, the kind you could never prepare for. Listen to the story of Tim and Blanca Ma and Kenzo.
Even right now when I think about it, it's the worst scene I've ever seen in my life. Just seeing my son laying there, lifeless, limp, on the table. The morning of January 21st, my wife wakes me up and saying, you know, honey, it's time.
So we calmly got ready and got in the car and headed to the hospital. It was very calm and peaceful. And we got there, got checked in right away.
When he was born, the doctors looked at him and he looked great. He was healthy. I got to cut the umbilical cord. Mom got to carry him. That's when things changed.
They called it skin to skin. They let me hold him on my chest to nurse him and just hold him and have that bonding time with my son.
Something didn't look right as he was laying there on my wife's body and she was holding him. And when I handed my son to the nurse, that's where she saw that his lips were purple and that he had no vitals.
And within minutes, a flood of people came into the room and rushed around our son.
And I remember looking at them and then turning around and looking at Blanca. And when I saw Blanca starting to cry, I quickly rushed to her side. And I knelt down and basically began to pray and cry out to God. I was praying, God, you're a good God. We trust you. Your will be done, Lord. In this situation, we ask for your will to be done.
So it could have been 5 minutes or as long as 15 minutes that he was without any oxygen.
But finally, after working on him, they got his vitals back up. He was breathing again, got his heartbeat going again. But the next thing that concerned us, you know, how did the lack of oxygen affect his body, especially his brain?
When he was in the intensive care unit, he automatically had to be put on a respirator because he could not breathe on his own. You know, we were just praying, Lord, breathe your breath of life into his body. Let your Holy Spirit just breathe your life into him.
It was amazing just to how the doctors were blown away at the results, his progress. When they're telling us about what may happen, the way they're telling us is that we already lost our son. Like he was dead. It was very discouraging. His lungs were healthy. His kidneys were healthy. His intestines and digestive tract were healthy. The doctors were really impressed. And the main thing that I remember personally is that God's got this. God's got this. There was such a great peace pulling us through during that time because we knew we trusted God, that even if the worst happened and he took our son, Kenzo is his, we are his, because he loves us, that was more than enough. That was all we needed. It allowed me and Blanca to draw closer to God even deeper than ever before. It was great to be able to show him to the different people that are praying and just to see, you know, how God moved in his life and in our family to bring him out of the hospital and to a really healthy place today.
The reason we have the Good Life Hawaii radio show is to bring you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is not only in those easy times of life that, you know, we like to share about the love of Christ. But I think it's so much more meaningful when we're going through the valleys, the deep times, the dark times, the rough moments in life. And our guest today in studio with us, Alfredo and myself, are here to testify. You heard their story. You know, it was so well done there at Grace Bible Church Pearlside in that video, that YouTube. But today, you know, right here with us, and we have Kenzo in studio with us as well. I was able to see this precious baby, look at him. And you know what? When I said, hello, Kenzo, he smiled back at me. I said, it's good to have you here in studio. And certainly it is. Tim and Blanca are local here. They from local, not in the Spanish sense, like crazy, but you know, they're local folks here from Pearl City. Well, they're crazy for God too. But they graduated from Cal State Northridge in California, in the Valley there, and they have three children. Tim, Stella, Zara, and Kenzo. We'll talk about the names and the unique timing of how things have happened. Tim is the college pastor and the assistant director of the School of Ministry at Grace Bible Church Pearlside. Tim and Blanca and Kenzo, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, we talked about, you know, being local folks here, but give us more details. Where did you guys grow up?
We're both actually born and raised in Pearl City, and we grew up just minutes apart from each other. My home was on the district line for elementary schools, so she went to YL Elementary, while I, on the other hand, went to Pearl City Highlands Elementary.
And you guys both graduated from Pearl City High School.
Yes.
Proud home of the Chargers.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Chargers.
Chargers, class of 99, both of us.
Okay, now that's the neat thing. So you guys both went to high school, graduated together, right?
Yes.
But you weren't going out, were you, at the time?
No, not at all.
So how did you guys meet?
It's a really interesting story. So we definitely both knew of each other. Our graduating class, I think, maybe had about 400 students, but despite that, we were in similar classes together. But even then, I don't know if I ever said hi to her personally. She said no.
She's shaking her head.
She said no. And so, you know, we knew of each other by name and by face, but that was it. And interesting enough, one of my friends that I grew up with was her neighbor. So I would hang out at his house after school, and I would see her next door outside. You know, she wasn't walking with God then, so I saw this girl that was just smoking cigarettes and didn't look too happy with life. And but I just kind of carried on. You know, I didn't want to say hi to her at the time. You know, I was a young Christian, didn't really know, you know, how to express the love of God to the opposite sex without coming off as like, you know, I'm interested in you. Mm-hmm. So I was just trying to play it safe back then, and which is also not a bad thing now. So we never really talked. And the funny thing is, later on, when I look back at the yearbook, class of 99, and I don't even remember her being in, you know, certain classes and certain clubs, and we talk, and she's like, yes, I was in that class. I was like, really? And in one of the pictures for the marketing club, there's about 74 students in the photo, and she's standing right next to me in that photo.
Wow.
And I don't even remember her at all in that club.
Okay, so how did you guys get together?
Well, right after we graduated from high school, I moved to LA about 2 months right after graduation. And I was going to school there and, you know, not following God. But maybe about my second year of college, my friend and I that I moved to LA with, she had gotten saved right before we moved and got connected with a church in LA, and our second year of living in LA, we actually moved in with two other college students from the church. So through the course of that year that we were living with them, I got to see people really living out the Christian life, really, you know, every day reading their word and living with integrity. These girls, you know, weren't sleeping around or even sleeping with their boyfriends. I saw real genuine Christians living out the Christian life, which I never saw before. I always thought Christians were hypocrites. And so one winter, I had just got back from Hawaii from visiting family, and I felt really depressed, just really lonely and just unhappy and unsatisfied with life. And I was on our balcony smoking a cigarette, and I just felt like God telling me, you know, do you want this life? Do you want me? If you want this, you need to just lay it all down and, you know, give up your old life and follow me. And I answered that call right there on the balcony. I flicked my cigarette. I said, I'm done with this. And I just prayed. You know, I'd heard the sinner's prayer before, so I basically prayed that prayer by myself on the balcony of our apartment. And from that day forward, I committed my life to following
awesome.
God.
Awesome.
Well, somewhere along there, Coach, there was a connection with this handsome, dashing Chinese man that was going to come from Hawaii.
Full of life, trust me.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll hear how Tim and Blanca actually got together. You know, they graduated high school together. We're never really connected until they went, what is that, about 2,500 miles away from home in the San Fernando Valley of Southern California. And there, the Lord had a divine appointment for them. From the flicking off of a cigarette from the top of a balcony to love, romance, and then a joint calling from the Lord. And a family, children, yes, and even miracles. God intervening in unique ways, like he did for Tim and Blanca, as he continues to do. God can work in very unique and powerful ways in your life too. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org.
Hear me calling, hear me calling.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
It's one of the most difficult things to do. I mean, you know, life is going good, you're excited about things, and then all of a sudden you get shocked, and you couldn't have prepared for it. You get the news about your son. I mean, you actually see your son, the baby boy is there, and he's limp, you know, there's no life there, and you need a miracle from God. But you run to your wife, and you pray, and you say, Lord, we commit this child to you, and your will be done. I mean, to say that, I mean, those are the words that Jesus used.
Yeah,
in exactly. The most critical moment of pain and fear and anxiety. But to know that a person says that today, that is a testimony of all testimonies.
Right.
In many respects, to surrender to God, and then to see what God will do. Well, that's a story of Tim and Blanca Ma and their son, Kenzo. We talked about it at the beginning of our show. If you're tuning in right now, we're talking about a miracle that took place in the delivery room, really, of how God brought a child back, and how the Lord has used this testimony and continues to do so. But, you know, he'll work in the lives of people who are seemingly, you know, just like you and me. And he works in the lives of human beings, and he intersperses his own divine order and will. And we have an opportunity to respond to him. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with Alfredo Canencia, my co-host, Tim Blanca, and Kenzo Ma in studio. Big mahalo to Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group for their generous partnership with us. And if you are interested in also joining with us, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org and go to the Partners tab and see how you can join us and make this program available to others. And we also have these programs as free downloads for you to use as a way to share with your family members and friends.
All right. We were talking earlier, Tim and Blanca. Blanca flicked that cigarette and decided to commit her life to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, you guys were going to the same church. Now, as you saw Blanca after surrendering her life to the Lord, you begin to see her differently. Tell us about that.
Right. I still remember that first day when I saw her again in L.A. So it was 2 years after graduation from high school. I spent my first 2 years of college at University of Hawaii Manoa. And after that, I wanted to experience L.A. and I felt, you know, God expanding just growth in me by wanting to move me to a different place. And so I went up to LA and found the local church there. And when I went to that church, I saw Blanca for the first time again in many years. And it was such a drastic difference from the person that I saw in high school. It was a whole new person. And you know, even to this day, when I meet people that have surrendered their hearts to Christ, and you know, God does a mighty work in their lives, and they mm-hmm. become new creations.
Right.
I haven't found another person that exemplified it more than my wife, Blanca. Just seeing how much darkness and oppression was on her prior to her coming to the Lord during high school. You know, you could just see the heaviness on her. Her face yeah. was different. And then when I saw her that first time in L.A., she had this glow on her, and it was very attractive.
Your heart was beating at that time.
Right. But the funny thing is, it wasn't in the sense where I was attracted to her where, you know, maybe she might be my future wife or, you know, I wanted to go out with her type of attraction.
Okay.
But it was the love of Christ coming forth from her. And that was very attractive.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, initially when we first saw each other and we met, inside my heart, there was no feelings of, you know, potential love of us getting together type of thought. But you know, but that definitely begun a great friendship from that point on.
Mm-hmm. Blanca, what was, you know, he mentioned darkness like a cloud that you know you were changed.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that Christ did in your life that resulted in that?
He really set me free from basically a depression. I wasn't ever clinically diagnosed with depression, but in my teenage years, I definitely was depressed. I was very, I had, you know, feelings of worthlessness and hopelessness that I went through, you know, experienced trials in different relationships that, important relationships in my life that really hit me hard and almost didn't recover from, you know, and so when I got saved, when I really surrendered my life to him, he set me free from all of that. And like Tim said, it was like a darkness lifted off of me, of just heaviness lifted off of me. I felt like a new person after that.
Oh, that's awesome. Really awesome. So when the light came in, like darkness just dispelled from your life.
Yeah. I used to walk around kind of with a sad face. Like everyone said, I looked really melancholy before I got saved. And afterwards, I remember different people coming up to me in church that had just met me and saying, "Wow, you are always smiling. Are you always this happy?" And I thought about it. And I was like, "I am now. I am. I am always. I have joy in my life now, happiness that I always wanted, that I never experienced before until I met Christ."
Wow. Then the friendship you guys, you know, kind of grew in, actually started to grow, and you guys actually got together. I mean, marriage. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. All the way far away from Hawaii, you know, connecting on the mainland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was kind of interesting in itself because for me, you know, just growing up in high school and seeing so many broken relationships, even in myself, I you know, had a girlfriend in high school that didn't work out. And so I made a commitment, you know, I just wanted to, the next person I was involved in within a relationship, I wanted to, you know, to be my wife. I didn't want to date around. And so when I first started feeling something extra more than that friendship bond between Blanca and I wasn't sure what that was. And I wanted to wait and seek God, and I knew the timing wasn't right. And so after we were friends for about 1 to 2 years, I started developing affections towards her. And I actually kept it in for 3 years. Wow. I waited 3 years. I was just seeking God. God, I don't know if this is right.
I'm looking at Alfredo, and his eyes popped open
three years.
That's
major
a long
self-control.
Time, huh?
The first year, that's the bronze medal, right? It's like the silver. So let's give him the gold.
That's right. He deserved the gold.
All right. I'll accept that award. It was pretty hard. But you know what's amazing was even in when I think about where we are today and where I'm at with God, and you know, with my son, and just being able to surrender to God that situation, it really, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm glad I brought up this, you know, waiting 3 years. Not that, you know, I'm suggesting that for everybody, but that was just something that God was doing in my life personally, that I felt like, you know, he was refining me and growing me as a man. But that really set me up to be able to handle the situation that we just went through with our story with our son Kenzo. The resilience, the trust in God, that was all beginning to build in moments like that, you know, just waiting 3 years to see if this is something that God was really going to do and bring us together. And, you know, to just close that story on how we got together. So finally, after having feelings for her for 3 years, I finally, you know, got the green light from God in my spirit. You know, this is time, you know, go for it, ask her out. And even then, though, I was unsure what she would say when I picked up the phone and called her for our first date. And when I called her, I sensed the joy on her voice that I called her to go out. And that excited me. I was like, okay. Because at first I was like, you know, maybe she might just give me a chance.
Or maybe she was waiting for 3 years too.
Well, you know,
a year and a half.
We should give her a gold medal. Yeah.
Come, come to find out, like Blanca just said, when we talked that night on our first date, and I shared with her, you know, my feelings for her and how I waited for a good amount of time to go out with her, she reciprocated that she waited a year and a half for me to ask her out as well.
Wow. See, every man gets nervous. Tim. You're not alone, brother. I mean, that first call, no matter how confident you think you are, right? That first call, I mean, you lay yourself out. You never know what's going to happen. But, the Lord blessed you. Mm-hmm. And your family has grown. Now, Kenzo is your youngest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you have two daughters. Mm-hmm. Stella mm-hmm. and Zara.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Tell us about them and their names. And
well, Stella, our first daughter, we named her after my mom's sister that passed away as a baby. When she told me about that story, I told my mom, if I ever have a daughter, I will name her Stella, because I thought that was such a pretty name.
Mm-hmm.
And to honor her sister's memory. So Stella was born on Christmas Day, and we still hadn't decided what her full name would be. We definitely wanted her to have a first and middle name. And since she was born on Christmas, that made it a little easier. We decided on Noel as her middle name, so her name is Stella Noel. Stella means star, and Noel means Christmas, basically. So that's her name. And then Zara... We just came across that name as we were doing research on what to name our second daughter, and that was one of the names. That was the name actually that stuck out the most to both of us amongst the long list of names that we came across. It means flower in Arabic. It's also Arabic for Sarah,
mm-hmm.
And her middle name is Grace. Yeah, and then Kenzo was also a name that stuck out to me when I thought about boys' names. It's the name of a celebrity's son. She will remain unnamed, but it means
somebody is saying right now, I know who it is.
Yeah, I'm not proud of it, but I just love the name Kenzo, and it means when we found out the meaning, which means wise, and three also builder. We just thought that was so great. And also his middle name is Hezekiah, which means the power from God. And I don't know if we want to get into that meaning.
Well, I think we'll talk about the power of God, because it's very appropriate.
Yes.
When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about the power of God. We're grateful that you are here to share right here in studio what you went through with this experience, and how God came in to that room, and how God entered in to that situation when all hope seems to have been lost. All hope was not lost. You had a hope that was grounded in Christ. It came through a gold medal, 3 years of waiting. And it's those little times, those little things, you know, when we're being obedient to God in those innocuous ways and places, where the Lord is strengthening us for the journey ahead, for these moments that can be crisis moments that could actually break us. They're actually used to catapult us in deeper and stronger ways. God is working in you too as you listen. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated, LNS Enterprises Marine Consultants, and Quilopo Painting Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become one, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, connecting your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kari Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kari Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
guest.
What
do you do when God says, wait? Oh, wait. Wait, Lord, don't you know that I just got to go? Lord, I'm anxious. I can't stand just not doing anything. And what if there is no other reason for God to say wait than to just see if you will wait? And for him to sense that, yeah, you are in tune with me. And not only that, not only are you hearing me, but you're willing to listen and respond. Well, the blessings have come on Tim and Blanca Ma because of waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. This is the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. My co-host here is Alfredo Canencia. And we are with our featured guests, Tim and Blanca Ma and Kenzo, in studio with us. And we're glad you're here. To find out more about our show, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org.
But you guys got back together, Tim and Ma, and mm-hmm. just, you know, on the mainland with your two daughters and, you know, doing ministry, reaching out and blessing people. What made you guys come back to Hawaii?
You know, that was kind of a difficult thing for decision to make to move back to Hawaii, because we're really plugged into our church there at Morningstar, the Valley Church. And you know, I was doing ministry for so many years there, but I felt inside my heart that God was beginning to change the season again. Just like when I first left Hawaii in 2001, I felt like there was that presence of God moving us forward again. And Blanca started to feel the same thing. And when I first left Hawaii, actually, in 2001, I thought I was only going to be in LA for a semester. I told all my parents, you know, my family, friends, the church family. I was like, hey, you know, don't worry, Pastor Coach. I'll be back soon.
Because that's an exchange type program, right?
Originally, right. When I left from University of Hawaii to go to Cal State Northridge, I signed up for their semester exchange program. And but when I went up there, you know, God began to show me the vision. There was not really any campus ministries there at Cal State Northridge. So as a student, I got a vision to help start a ministry there. And when I graduated, I was able to help start that along with the local church and the pastor there. And after I graduated from college, you know, I went through some ministry training 6 months in conjunction with Fuller Seminary. I went back as a full-time missionary onto that campus. And so here I was, you know, ministering there with my wife for 7 years on that campus full-time. And it was hard for me to see that come to a close, but I, at the same time, I really felt like that's what God was doing. But we weren't sure. So we spent, you know, several months in prayer. And one night while we were praying together, I was like, you know, I'm just going to ask God for a tangible sign. And, you know, keep in mind, my wife had just a few months prior given birth to our second child, Zara. And so we definitely weren't expecting another child at that time. And so I prayed with my wife that evening, and I said, God, you know, we sense that you're wanting to move us back to Hawaii. We want your will to be done, though, Lord. So, God, can you give us a tangible sign so that we know for sure that this is from you? And after I said, you know, in Jesus' name, amen, my wife started to giggle uncontrollably. And I was like, whoa, what are we having, a Holy Ghost party here? Like, what's happening? She just kept on giggling and giggling. And I said, honey, what's so funny? Please tell me. And so finally she opens her mouth and says, I didn't tell you, but I took a pregnancy test today, and I'm pregnant. And I was like, what? And so here we are in a one-bedroom apartment in L.A. with already two kids. At that time, it was a two-year-old and a one-year-old. And we're like, what are we going to – a one-year-old and a newborn, you know, 6 months. So what are we going to do? You know, it's like this is really time for us to move back to Hawaii because my parents are here. Her family lives here still in the same city. In fact, same homes we grew up in Pearl City. So just minutes apart from each other. And just, you know, my heart to wanting to reconnect back in the Hawaii church was also really stirring. So God was doing a lot of things. And so he confirmed it with our son, Kenzo.
Kenzo.
Well,
that's the movie there, Kenzo. Kenzo's on radio already. Already. Well, take us back. Take us back into that day in the delivery room. Some people are tuning in right now, and they didn't hear the beginning part. But we can hear it fresh from you. What happened?
Well, I was holding my son, nursing him, and having that what they call skin-to-skin time.
He was just born.
He was just born.
You cut the umbilical cord.
Yes, right. Daddy cut the umbilical cord. He was a healthy baby. He had high Apgar scores, as they like to call it, which meant he was healthy. He was fine. But after about 20 minutes, a nurse came up from the nursery to get him cleaned up and all that, and that's when she noticed that his lips were blue, and she picked up a phone off of the wall and called in code blue, and within seconds or just minutes, a flood of people came in the room. I'd never seen this scene before, but they, you know, all rushed around Kenzo and were trying to resuscitate him, and in that moment, I didn't know what was happening. I knew something was wrong, obviously, but I didn't know what exactly was wrong. And so it was scary for me because I knew that it wasn't good. And this was my son that I just gave birth to. I just met him, and I was just holding him. You know, what happened? And you know, so I was scared. But, you know, after a few moments, I realized, hey, this... You know, I need to pray. Like, God needs to intervene in this situation. And so I was laying there praying to God. And, you know, I obviously wanted my son to live. But I prayed, you know, God, I committed my life to you and to your will. And in this situation, you know, I definitely want my son to live. But I also want your will to be done. And if it's your will for you to take him, then so be it. You know, I know if he passes, he's going to be with you in heaven anyway. So he'll be fine. He'll be in a good place. But if you want him to live, if it's your plan for him to live, then let us know, and we'll fight for his life.
Tim, were you in the room?
Yeah. So. I followed the nurse to the table where they were trying to resuscitate him, and I could see the look on the doctor's faces, the emergency response team that rushed in. It wasn't looking good, and you know, they kept on checking for signs after pumping air into his lungs, and he wasn't responding. And at that moment, that's when I looked back at my wife, and I saw tears rolling down her face. So I knew there's nothing, you know, we could do but to surrender this situation to God. And so I quickly rushed to her side. grabbed her hand, knelt down beside her bed, and started to pray, you know, a similar prayer to what my wife just said, that God, this is all you. This is your will be done. We trust you, God.
You know, I like the fact that, Blanca, you said, you know, we want your will to be done. But, Lord, if it's his will, your will for him to live, we'll fight for him. Mm-hmm. And at that time, were you just praying that the Lord would breathe into him? He wasn't breathing on his own, basically.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing that even to this day, you know, the doctors aren't sure why he stopped breathing. And we weren't even sure how long he was without breath. You know, the estimates is anywhere from 5 to 10, even 15 minutes. And for a newborn, that could be catastrophic, not only to the brain, you know, brain damage, but even to his organs. And so now, you know, after spending a few minutes trying to resuscitate him and get his breathing back and his vital signs back up, the doctors were finally successful after we finished praying. And so, you know, there was some excitement that rose up in our hearts, like, all right, you know, God did this along with the grace he's given the medical team. And but then the thought hits me, you know, but what's going to be of our son? You know, we weren't even sure at that point. Now that he's breathing again, is he going to be able to function, have full function of his brain? You know, was his kidneys or anything like that affected? So that was the next big question that we were unsure of.
I want you to tell us what happened, you know, what you found out about his condition when we come back from our break. And also, Tim and Blanca, some of the deep lessons, those deep lessons that you learned that were sort of unearthed in the valley of crisis, things that the Lord showed you, revealed to you, that you will take with you for the rest of your life, and that will anchor you in your ministry and what you will pass on to others. It's kind of like God whispered some secrets in your ears during those times. I want you to share that with us when we come back. Because, you know, Tim and Blanca, Coach and I, we do this here, and we know people are hurting. People are worried. People are suffering from anxiety attacks because things are so stressful and out of control. What would God say to someone like that right now? When we come back, Tim and Blanca will share more Heart to Heart with you. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So what do? Where do you go when you hit the wall of the unexpected crisis in life and, you know, really, things are out of control. You don't have any power. You feel helpless. Where do you go? What do you do? You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. We're going to answer that very question by a practical life story with our guest today. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, and our featured guest today, Tim and Blanca Ma, and now sweet, sleeping, he's resting, dear Kenzo.
You know, Tim and Ma, going through what you guys went through, there are probably lessons that you have learned. You know, these gems don't come out unless we go through some real difficult times. What are some of the lessons that you learned going through this process with baby Kenzo?
Right. The first, I think, is the power of prayer. You know, when we're able to pray, not even just for God's miracle to work, although that's definitely one thing we're believing for because this is our son and we wanted to see him healed. But the fact that when we come to God, it's the first step, I think, that we took in terms of trusting God and being able to surrender our situation to God. And I remember, you know, immediately texting and calling friends and pastors of Grace Bible Church where I attend. And, you know, one of the first people to come was Pastor Camille. And while she was driving over, you know, and she was praying for Kenzo, she felt God place on her spirit that, you know, Kenzo needs God's strength right now. And that's what he needs, is strength. And so when we went into the newborn intensive care unit to visit my son so she could lay hands and pray for him, the attending nurse that was there at his bedside, Pastor Camille looks over at the nurse and says, you know, I'm a Christian and I want to pray for this baby here. Since you're the nurse and you understand what's going on, what does he need? You know, what can I pray for him? And she looked at Pastor Camille and she says, he needs strength right now. And up until that point, we didn't really have his middle name yet, Hezekiah. And we weren't sure what we're going to name him, but that just confirmed it. Because my wife already knew that was his middle name. I just wasn't sure yet. Mm-hmm. And Hezekiah means strength from God, you know, power of God.
Awesome.
And so at that point, we're like, okay. And that it's just things like that helped us feel so much peace in the situation as we're going through everything. You know, God doing these little things saying, you know, I'm with Kenzo in this. I got this. And I think... you know, that just that I got this, you know, from God. I kept on hearing that. I got this, Tim. I got this.
Tim, that really one of the things you and Blanca did, it's certainly easy for us to talk about it now. You know, it's a relaxed environment. But you went to God. You ran. It's like you ran to God in the middle of the fear or
desperation.
Desperation. Moment, yeah. Perfect.
Right.
You know, And yet for us and others, sometimes in the moment of heat, the crisis, we run around. We don't know. Sometimes we just run around in sheer panic.
Yes.
And come to God last. You know, but that those are critical moments when you went to the Lord and you prayed and you worshiped, that there were some and you called others to pray, that there were some really, who knows what kind of breakthrough God did because of the way that you responded.
Right.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the crisis, a lot of times, you know, God is looking to see what we're going to do. Mm. And, you know, naturally we panic. We all go through that. Mm-hmm. But if our minds, we realize that we have to focus on God, that's what I get from your story, Tim, that you were looking to the Lord. Okay, God, what are you doing here?
Yes. You know, definitely one of my favorite passages in the Bible is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It's actually similar. I mean, I used that same passage while I was walking through those 3 years of not knowing if I'm going to end up with Blanca or not when I had feelings for her and I didn't ask her out yet. That was one of the main passages that I prayed over and over again to God. And it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Mm. And so, you know, as a single man, you know, I had so much emotions and feelings raging in my body towards this woman I was attracted to. And, you know, I wanted the peace of God to guard my heart then. Mm. And then many years later, fast forward to our son being born now, and not knowing if he was going to be okay, you know, what was God going to do in this situation, that scripture came back to mind. And I got a new revelation when reading this scripture and meditating on it. And I'm going to read it again. It says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And I think, you know, back then as a single person, going through just waiting and not knowing if you know, God, if she was going to be the one, there wasn't that much thanksgiving going on. It was more like just the agony of it all. But I think this time around, just seeing how God has been so good to us for so many years in Blanca in my life, you know, I see that I come to know God in a greater way, where I see his goodness working in everything. Mm-hmm. And so there was definitely thanksgiving. And I think that's a key part of that scripture that can often be overlooked. Yeah. I was overlooking it for so many years. And so I remember the first opportunity I got to go back into service, you know, after coming from the hospital and worship God, I just got on my knees and I was just praising and worshiping God. And not in a sense where I was trying to manipulate him. You know, God, I'm going to, you know, seem thankful to you, Lord, so that you answer my prayers on healing my son. Because mm-hmm. I know God knows my heart anyways. But it was more of such a gratitude, an appreciation, even when we didn't know how it was going to turn out, if whether mm-hmm. our son or not was going to have brain damage or not. We were just grateful that we had God in our lives and that mm-hmm. God was in this situation already working mm-hmm. and we could see that. And so even, you know, despite not knowing the results of what was going to happen, we were filled with so much gratitude and worship unto God.
Mm-hmm. What has been done, and what did they say about Kenzo?
Well, while he was in the intensive care unit, they ran some tests on him, an MRI and an EEG, also an EKG, and just to name a few. But those are the MRI and the EEG were the two main tests that we were concerned about. They're both brain scans. So about 3 weeks, oh, sorry, 2 weeks after that, they sat down with us to go over the results. And prior to that, you know, every time we talked to a doctor, you know, when they talk to us to give us an update on Kenzo, they always sounded worried about his situation. You know, realistically speaking, you know, when you don't get oxygen to your brain for such a long amount of time, you could suffer a lot of injury. So they were concerned that he could have cerebral palsy and other disabilities. But when we sat down with them to go over the results, they were so pleased with what they saw on the scans, because there was very, very little injury to his brain, to an even a insignificant part of the brain. You know, every part is important, but they said that part of the brain, we barely use it. Mm-hmm. And so that was so amazing to hear, you know. Awesome. For a newborn that went without oxygen for could have been up to 15 or 20 minutes. Wow. To have, you know, overcome all of that was just a great testimony.
Blanca, we have about a minute and a half or so. Can mm-hmm. you just say a prayer for a mother? Yes. That's listening, a child of whatever age? Mm-hmm. But could you?
Yes. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you for every mom out there listening or even not listening. God, I just want to pray for them as they do what you've called them to do as a mom. Lord, as they raise their children, Lord, whatever situation they may be going through at this time, I just pray for your peace to enter their hearts, to guard their hearts and mind. Father God, I pray for your comfort, to comfort them through whatever they may be going through. And I pray for faith to rise up in them to fight for their children, for whatever their child and them may be going through. Lord, I thank you that you are a faithful God, that you hear our prayers, and that you love your children, Father God. And I just pray that they would, Lord, surrender, Lord, whatever situation they may be going through unto you, Father God, that they would lay their burdens at your feet and let you take care of them, Father God, that you would just lift up the mothers and strengthen them to be the moms that you've called them to be, Father. I just pray this in your name, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Monica, thank you for praying. And that prayer is for you. As you're listening, you need prayer. That prayer was for you. And if you join your heart in prayer with Blanca, there's the two of you praying together. And the Lord, by faith, is beginning to move in your life, in your unique situation. Tim, Blanca, it's meant so much to have you come in and to share, in ways relive that situation. And that life-changing story that you've shared with us is something that has really touched my heart, and I know will touch the hearts of each one listening. As you listen to this show, you might be thinking, hey, I got to get this. Someone else I know needs to hear Tim and Blanca's story. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Our downloads are free. Send it to a friend. You know who they are right now as you're hearing us. And so on behalf of Alfredo, on behalf of Coach Tim Blanca, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
In the next few days, you're going to be hearing other stories. We're talking about hope and faith in life's situations. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus Christ with someone near you. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.org, that's where you can get this program and others. Get it for free, thegoodlifehawaii.org. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guests today, Tim and Blanca Ma. More information there at gbchawaii.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, and our technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.